Chapter 40. The Essex County Corrections Vehicle, with headlights on flasher and the band of blue and white lights that spanned the top of the roof blinking with official warning, drove up over the curb and towards the paved walkway in front of the main office of the school. In itself, this caused commotion in the main office. Then two large armed men got out of the vehicle and headed towards the main door. Joyce immediately called for Ron and Frankie.
"We're here looking for the guy who's running this place and illegally holding my son," hollered Albert Mulvaney.
There was a stunned silence from the secretaries. Counselors ducked back into their office and shut the door. Albert exchanged a pleased grin with his partner, Luke. Ron and Frankie entered the area from separate directions. Frankie circled around to have his back while Ron walked up to Ted Mulvaney's father. Luke and Frankie exchanged a look of recognition. Ron said, "Let's go into my office," and gestured through his open door. Albert was standing his ground.
"I want to see my son."
"Sure," said Ron. "We can go over to the nurse's office and have this meeting there with Ted present. Or we can talk first and then go over there."
"We can talk, but this better be good," said Albert, starting towards the door.
Ron stepped in front of the door. "Do you think you could turn the flashing lights off first?" Ron gestured out the open window. "We're having classes."
"I'll get the lights," said Luke.
"And do you think," Ron pressed a little. He was annoyed by this man's antics and wanted to assert control of the situation. "And maybe you could leave the guns in the car and lock it."
"My gun and my partner go everywhere with me," growled Albert.
"That's nice," said Ron. "Please come in." Luke killed the engine on the car, and the four men went into Ron's office. Trudy Bennett looked over at Joyce and said coyly, "Do you think you want to go and take notes?"
"Not on your life," said Joyce, smirking.
There were four chairs, but Albert chose to stand in front of the one behind Ron's desk.
"My son doesn't do drugs, and anyone who says that he does is a goddamn liar."
"Let's try to calm down," said Ron. "I'm not saying that Ted took drugs. I got a referral from a teacher that said he was acting like he was on drugs."
"I want to see the referral. I want to see this teacher."
Albert's fists were clenched. Ron glanced over at Frankie, who was not tense. He had already sized up the situation. Nothing to really worry about. The New Jersey state policy regarding zero tolerance for drug use prohibits me from showing you that referral or giving you that name, said Ron. He thought the policy unfair, but understood that it was written with an eye towards much larger drug issues and much more profound reasons for keeping the referring teacher's name secret. The fairness reasoning was that there was no penalty, and the school would pay for the test. All Ted would have to do is urinate into a cup. Social stigma was not consideration for the policy. This was because it was supposed to be administered with confidentiality. Margaret Filgo had started this off poorly, but Albert Mulvaney had blown confidentiality out of the water like he had artillery.
"Well, my policy is that I get to see my accusers. I want to see my son now."
"Let's go," said Ron. They made their way to the nurse's office in a complete male formation. Ron led the way. The two swaggering men were at his heels, and Frankie followed a couple of steps back.
Albert Mulvaney's heavy ring of keys jingled. Joyce and Trudy giggled after they left. Theodore Mulvaney stood when he saw Ron and his father. He held his back very straight, with his shoulders back, and looked straight ahead. "Did you take any drugs, son?" said Albert. "No, sir," said Theodore. Albert turned to Ron. "That's enough for me. Go wait in the car, son." "Yes, sir," snapped Ted. And then he left the nurse's office and walked to the dormant Essex County van that sat on the sidewalk outside of Ron's office. Ron sighed. "Frankie, can you see Ted from here?" "Yeah, I can see him," said Frankie. Albert looked confused. What was the punk going to do now? His kid? His car? He was leaving. "Mr. Mulvaney, the policy says that if the test is not performed within 12 hours because of parental interference, that it must be considered a presumed positive. Maybe you shouldn't do this." "I'll get him tested, and then I want a public apology from you and this school." "I'll be happy if he's negative, Mr. Mulvaney. I got enough work." Mulvaney and Luke rattled their way to their car and left as they had arrived with flashing lights.